Welcome back to another episode of Seven Deadly Sinners. This is part two. Yes, I know, a little bit late, but life happens. Part two on Jackie the Colt. Yes, that's J-A-C-K-I-E. Jackie was described as a mythical machine or a supernatural system that monitored people's thoughts and could punish them if they disobeyed the leader. And this acronym stood for, like we said last episode, Jehovah, that's a J obviously, Allah, Christ, Krishna, and Immortal Iswaran. In other words, every major spiritual authority rolled into one terrifying idea.
It's funny we're doing this now with all of the AI, you know, going on. It's like, it'd be a perfect time to implement this cultish idea now.
But they did that. It's very similar to, what's the one with the shoes in Oregon and San Diego?
The shoes. I know what you're talking about. They left on a meteor, supposedly.
Yeah.
That's like one of the famous ones.
I know. I don't know why it's not sticking in my brain.
Me either.
But it's Heaven's Gate.
Ah.
That's what it is. And I should know that fully because it's Oregon and California, places that I'm from.
In a major cult.
Well, yes. Which I've never been a part of one. But I'm into them in terms of debunking them.
Studying.
And researching, yes. So, in terms of this cult, the Jackie cult, every major spiritual authority rolled into one terrifying idea. The Balakrishna claimed the machine could, and they claimed it was a machine, control minds, control the weather, trigger disasters, destroy enemies, and punish disloyal followers. And this is classic cult belief system stuff that just once you get someone in, then you just terrify them into submission. It makes the supernatural feel plausible. Because if a satellite can track you, why couldn't Jackie?
Yeah.
Why couldn't the made up thing that the creepy cult leader came up with?
I mean, he came in at the right time. But it's also, I feel like, right now is another time where someone could easily... Like, I have a quantum supercomputer, and it is, you know, coordinating with all of the spiritual messiahs and watching you.
Yeah. People are currently paranoid, and I don't blame them. I don't judge them. I just choose not to pay attention to it, besides for the purposes of the podcast. But that's, for me, my healthy mechanism is just like, all right, well, whatever.
Well, in most modern cities, there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah, well, we live in the middle of nowhere, so.
We're lucky. There's no cameras here.
Yeah, but we're off a major highway, essentially. But still, I choose not to pay attention to it. I don't care. Like, I don't care. So to get back into it. So here's where the cult lived. The group operated primarily out of southern London, particularly around Brixton. And from the outside, it looked ordinary. It was just a flat, just a house. I've stayed in flats in London. Yeah, I've stayed in very haunted flats in London, by the way. But just neighbors living their lives. But inside, it was a completely different universe. Very similar to the Sarah Lawrence cult, the dad that infiltrated the Sarah Lawrence, which I think is so creepy.
Back, you know, season one material for Seven Deadly Sinners.
I think so, yeah.
Old heads.
Yeah. So, you know, one would think everything was normal, but these followers were under strict control. They were isolated from the outside, just like every other cult. And over time, the Balakrishnan convinced them that leaving was impossible because Jackie would destroy them if they had tried.
It's so intimidating. Them. When you feel like you're up against a machine,
yeah.
It's like it never sleeps. It's always watching.
And the time it takes to like get into someone's brain, but I don't even know if, see, that's what confuses me about cult stuff is like, how much time does it take to convince you that you, and I've always said, I am not immune to being like, I might be the biggest pussy of all time that I could easily be attracted into a cult or something. Although I don't like group activity, so maybe not. But
yeah, Rachel will straight up just like walk off a guided tour. Like yeah, if we're on like vacation now, and we just, sign up for like a ghost tour or something, like yeah. This would be so much fun. She's like,
I'm good.
Kind of want to do it on my own.
Yeah, like I can.
You're so rogue that I think that's the only thing saving you from being inducted into a cult is you're like, group projects.
It's not my thing. It's just, no.
Kind of a lone wolf here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. But I still say this with kindness that I don't think that anyone should feel bad about being roped into a situation because I do feel like at certain points I have been, but not, maybe not totally because I am a lone wolf. Fine. But if it's ever happened to you, don't feel bad about it. But they do that. Like they do make you feel like you're the only person that's experienced this. You're the only like.
They make you feel important.
Yes.
And
exactly.
That is your destiny.
Yeah. It's an invisible force that could strike you down any moment. Like that, like they'll say that this thing, this UFO or whatever the hell it is, the Jackie device, like it could take you out at any point.
And when there's a bunch of human beings that you can see with your own eyes telling you that like they're here for you, they, you know, it's all part of the plan. And
yeah,
you know, we all knew we were supposed to induct you into this cult. It becomes kind of overwhelming and you don't want to like disappoint them.
Well, and they also prey on loneliness. And this is, okay, yeah. I'm going to go off on a slight tangent. Our friend Austin, who also used to live in LA and lived a fabulous life like we did and we still do. We just live in the middle of nowhere now. He and I like to watch like QVC or the Home Shopping Network or whatever. And I can see how, you know, older people or lonely people are just like, oh, because they will say on that show, they'll be like, oh, this is a regular customer calling in. You know, it's almost like televangelists. Like they become their friends, essentially.
They want to be part of the tribe.
Yeah. And it's kind of predatory. I'm not trying to take down the Home Shopping Network. But
which is ridiculous.
But it is like, yeah, but they will say like, oh, this is one of our regular people.
We just can't wait to sell them this ridiculous sweatshirt with a sailboat on it.
Yeah, exactly. It's something they don't need, but they're lonely. Like, there's just predatory things on this, I don't know, planet. That's all I'm saying. But could Austin be the best QVC host? He knows how to pull it off.
He's a good salesman.
He is. He is.
And we interviewed him a few, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 episodes back. Pyramid House in the Woods.
Yep.
Go check it out.
Yes. Go check it out. All right. So this is how cult leaders can build their loyalty. There's a pattern you'll notice across almost every cult, which is what I was saying. First, they create a problem. There's always a problem. There's always someone against you. The government's against you. You know,
they certainly are.
Yeah, there's scarcity of resources. Like
gas prices.
Yeah. But then they claim that they're the only ones that can solve it.
Uh-huh.
And according to Balakrishnan, I don't really care to say his name.
Oh, Comrade Bala.
Yeah, Comrade Bala. Yeah, the moron. Everything, disasters, politics, global events, was connected to his power. And if his followers stayed loyal, if they really, really connected to him, they would survive. But if they betrayed him, Jackie, the weird thing in the sky, would know. It would always know. And that belief gave him something every cult leader wants: total control. And that's why this cult is specifically very creepy, where it's like terrifying. There's something in the sky.
An eye in the sky. I'm surprised that we've never covered a cult that implemented this technological, like, all-knowing machine idea, right? Because it's so powerful. It's so pervasive. It's so omnipresent. And it's so relevant right now with us dealing with AI. I mean, like, I don't know if anyone's been following, but like the government, you know, is trying to use OpenAI or Claude, you know, to surveil us. And, you know, we really got to kind of pay attention to what these businesses are allowing to happen. And it is actually kind of scary, because we're now living in a time where, like, what this guy was saying in the 70s can actually kind of happen.
I mean, I hope not, but I can see why he was ahead of his time.
He was ahead of his time.
I mean, because he became something more than human. He was the eye in the sky.
Exactly. To his followers, they believed he was, more than human.
But here's the thing, too. Despite it being bizarre, the group attracted very educated followers. And that happens a lot with cults.
Yeah.
Like, you can be the head of Microsoft. You can be the head of whatever. Like, no one is immune to being attracted to a cult. You can find yourself in a place of loneliness, and you need, like, they know what they're fucking doing.
Well, I think that, like, really intelligent people often find themselves, you know, plagued by their own genius, kind of lonely, looking for greater answers, because the answers that serve most people don't work for them. And that is something that has really surprised me. And, you know, researching all these cases with you over the years is that, like, quite often, very intelligent, prominent, successful people will fall victim to these scams and
schemes.
And they
don't believe that it could happen to them twice.
Yeah.
And that part I completely understand, where, like, I feel like I've been scammed not by a cult, but by bad people, and have thought, nah, that'll never happen again. Shit, I can't be bullied again. I'll be fine. But it's because you think that it's not going to happen to you again that you fall victim to it.
You gotta keep your guard up.
Yeah, never let anyone know what you're thinking, I guess.
You gotta be wary of people. Trust is the last thing you should give out.
Yeah, but trust makes the world go around at the same time.
It's true, but
you just gotta be tough.
You gotta be protective of who you're gonna trust.
Yeah, that's fair. So, despite sounding bizarre now, the group actually attracted educated followers, like I said. Some were intellectuals, some were activists, some were simply vulnerable people searching for meaning. And that's something people often misunderstand about cults, like we said. They recruit the foolish, they recruit the searching. By the late 1970s, the group had evolved from a political commune into a closed cult environment. Members lived communally, they followed strict routines, and slowly, the outside world disappeared.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
So as we know, it happens gradually. People spend less time with their families, more times with the members, and then at no time at all, Suddenly, the voices you hear are only the ones inside the cult. So inside this commune, it began with the mythology around himself. Followers were told he could influence global politics, he could manipulate events from afar, and he had access to knowledge ordinary people couldn't understand. And perhaps the most important belief he spread was this: nothing in the world happened by accident. Everything was connected to Jackie. Wars, storms, even news headlines.
That's terrifying. When you like, you start to think that like it's not random chaos, but it's like this orchestrated, organized, you know, plan that like a machine has access to, and this guy's the only guy talking with the machine. It really becomes like you don't want to doubt him. And I'm sure it's very easy for them to manipulate news headlines and things to.
Well, yeah, you can just say like, oh, that's not totally true, or not let them listen to news headlines. I mean,
well, yeah,
isolation.
You just get, you know, information 10 minutes quicker than they can find it, and you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that scam's not that hard to pull off today.
Well, wait for this though. If something major happened in the world, Bala would claim it proved his power.
Exactly.
And when people lived inside a controlled environment, the kind of narrative becomes convincing because there's no one there to challenge it.
Yeah.
It's only him. So now's the moment where it turns darker. Because cults always begin with belief, but they survive through control. Members began experiencing the classic cult shit. Sorry for the word shit, but it's strict routines. It's less sleep. It's less food. It's you're sleeping amongst a bunch of people.
Seems to be always starvation and sleep deprivation.
Yeah, it's psychological pressure. And then your emotional dependency becomes on your leader because you're uncomfortable. Like you're physically uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You're physically uncomfortable. You're sleeping. It's like Tony Alamo, you know, that their cult. They were sleeping like, I don't know.
A few hours 80, a night.
No, but also like 80 people in a room the size of
yeah.
what we're in right now. Like, just no, weird. You're just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You're uncomfortable. But so your emotional thing is like, okay, well, I guess it will get better if this leader.
You start to really put your heart and rely on him to make it better.
Yeah, because he's going to make it better.
Because he's says the one he's in the control. Only one.
Yep. Yep. That's where it becomes dangerous. It brings disaster. It brings to the point where that's where cults become, you know, like Heaven's Gate, where it's mass suicide, or Jonestown. Like, it's where
you'll blindly follow the leader because you're just so uncomfortable.
Deprived.
And you're craving a solution that you think the only person who can deliver is this man you've been following. And you don't want to doubt yourself. You don't want to doubt mm-hmm. yourself for all the months and time and energy you've put into it.
Yeah, it makes you feel terrible about yourself.
Yeah,
it's embarrassing.
I can't be wrong. I'm smart. Yeah. And all these people around me are smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
and,
a bad
and you
trip.
Feel ashamed, I think. Like, and a lot of the times when parents have come and like rescued their kids from these cults, they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
But it's because of shame. It's like they feel shame. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I have resources enough to know that
it's hard to admit you're wrong. It's hard to admit you've been wasting time and energy.
Yeah. And you don't want to, I don't know, you don't want to disappoint your family. You don't want to, you committed to something.
Yeah.
So at this point, Bala Comrade or whatever the fuck his name
Comrade
is.
Bala.
Who cares? It's stupid at this point. Bala Comrade. He had convinced his followers that the government wanted to destroy them. Police were watching. Enemies were everywhere. And this idea had a powerful effect. Because once members believed the outside world was dangerous, they stopped wanting to leave. Isolation didn't feel like imprisonment anymore. It felt more like protection because he was their only protector.
And it's such like a messed up mind fuck because like there probably were police surveilling them because there is something illegal going on. There
is people are paying
oppression going on. And so like you start to fear the outside world. It's actually trying to free them, but it's like, what do they call it? Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
Where you start to, you know, love your master because you're afraid of the people that are actually coming there to rescue you.
Yeah.
Similar to like when your family comes to pull you out of the cult, you're like, no, you're, you know.
Yeah. Like, I love this world. Like, this is like, because they've committed so much to, I'm going to make a very weird reference and you can cut this out if you want. But like, we live in this tiny town now in Colorado, and in a weird way, like, it's not like I've felt Stockholm Syndrome, but like, loneliness and isolation can breed like, oh, are you my friend? Like, it can make you feel like someone who you would never be friends with in the real world, ever. Like when I lived in LA, I would never, ever speak to some of the people that...
There's a few local Aguilarians. I'm sure you would not have given the amount of time that...
Yeah, never. But loneliness and isolation breeds something where you're like, well, human connection. Do you want to hear my funny joke? Used to be funny, like it makes you, it could actually make me cry because it there's something about it that is, it sucks you in a weird way. And it's nothing like, I would never do anything nefarious with these fucking peasants, but I...
It's even just your time and energy. Like there's plenty of people who I'm like, oh shit, here they come. And I know that I'm about ready to lose 2 hours because they don't have anything else going on.
Yeah.
Like they got their government money coming in, you know, they don't understand the concept of a job. It's like, I'm trying to work. I got some edits I got to finish. I'm like, ooh, but I do like socializing with them. I do like being salt of the earth. I do like being like, we're just two human beings getting by, and it can kind of win you over. And you also don't want to be a bad or mean person and say that, hey, you're not worth my time. But like, you know, you just want to relate. You want to relate to the people you're around.
Yeah. And many of them I have enjoyed speaking to. But then I don't realize until like later on, I'm like,
it's been 3 hours.
No, it's not even that. It's like, I've started to realize what nefarious activity is.
Okay. That's fair too.
There's
also some incredible people in this town who would surprise the hell out of you. The guy who did the costumes for Tombstone movie.
He's a doll.
He's here. He lives in our little town. There's some incredible people. There's this amazing woman who cut my hair, who also cut Rachel's hair.
Yeah, she's
amazing haircut.
There's amazing people.
You know,
I'm just saying.
So people will surprise you too. So you just gotta kind of give everyone a little bit of a chance. But that's what's scary because you just might get roped into a cult.
Yeah, or just, I don't know. Sometimes it just feels weird, but I don't know. I feel like I was tough enough that I could handle it. I don't know.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Well, this is a funny segue because Greg had applied to be the town marshal, and he may be. And do you know that one of the Deb's friend that was there with her. She came up to me today when I stopped at the Mercantile, and she said, "Your husband was awesome.
Aww.
We loved him." Like, and I was like, I thought he did an awesome job too. And I was like, it seemed like the people there were a little intimidated by him.
Maybe
as well
so.
They should be. And she goes, they should have been. They should have had a plan for him.
Yeah.
She very much said, we love
Well, that feels good. I got the town on my side.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be town marshal. And if not, maybe I'll run for mayor.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Listen, this podcast has become, it contains multitudes. We're fine. I think it's funny because it's interesting. This is our life now, and
we live an interesting life. I'll tell you that.
And we actually experience true crime right in your face.
Yeah, true crime right in your face.
There you go. All right, so back to the story. So when authorities began interviewing people connected to the group, they discovered something fascinating and disturbing. Even after leaving the cult, some members still believe parts of the mythology. And that's the thing about the long-term psychological influence. It doesn't disappear overnight.
Yeah.
It absolutely doesn't.
It's ingrained.
For listeners, like if you've ever been like bullied or something, or trying to think, or like a bad thing happened, it sticks in your bones. Like you don't get over it overnight.
Yeah.
Like it's a painful thing. So then there is a case that happens. As the case developed, the cult leader faced serious accusations. Investigators allege that he had used psychological control and manipulation to dominate followers' lives for decades. Reports described a system where loyalty was demanded constantly, and questioning the leader could lead to punishment, emotional or psychological. Former members described an environment where the line between ideology and personal control had disappeared. Everything revolved around him, and the mythology of Jackie had helped maintain that power. Because if followers believed an invisible system was watching them, they would regulate themselves, which meant the leader didn't always need to enforce control directly. Criminal.
It's so pervasive and scary. You feel like, yeah, like you can't even whisper to somebody something because like this, you know.
Something's over.
Larger than life, you know, more than human thing is listening and watching.
It's creepy as hell.
Very creepy.
It's also creepy that this story has not been more widely known.
I know. I couldn't believe that like it's taken this long for us to get to this cult episode.
Yeah. So when the story broke, the media couldn't get enough of it. A cult in London, a mysterious supercomputer belief system. Women allegedly controlled for decades, a leader who claimed to influence global events. It sounded like something out of a psychological thriller, like a fiction movie.
It's good. It would be a great A24 movie.
Yeah. But it also raised serious questions about how cults operate in modern societies, because people often assume cults only happen in remote compounds.
Yeah.
Hidden deserts, isolated mountains. But this one had existed in one of the largest cities in Europe, right in the middle of everyday life. Neighbors walked past the building for years without knowing what was happening inside. And that's one of the most chilling parts of this story. Cults don't always hide far away. Sometimes they exist quietly, right next door.
For decades. That's what it's like. Also like decades. Like that's like, I can't imagine believing in something for a decade or more. And then like, I mean, even if I knew I was wrong, it'd be hard for me to give it up. Like if you told me the Pacers were like a bad organization.
They're not. They're fantastic.
I know. That's what I'm just saying. But if like the Pacers came out and it was like, oh, they were part of the Epstein ring, you know, I'd be like, ah, but I love the Pacers.
It sticks with you because
I know it's
they
hard
get in
to.
You.
It's just crazy. And yeah, right in plain sight. I'm afraid that there's probably going to be something following this particular cult's playbook developing with AI and supercomputers, like probably developing soon.
I'm sure that already is.
Probably already underway. You're right.
But not to scare you guys, but yeah, protect yourselves And they tend to attract to the lonely. And who among us isn't lonely? I often get very lonely out in the middle of nowhere here. And I try to make friends with anyone that will be my friend, including you guys. But you guys are my friends. But
she needs you.
But yeah, I need you. But
keep like, listening, but like even share.
Even with the Jehovah's Witnesses, like they would read, and we covered them, they would read obituaries in the newspaper, go to those people's houses because they knew they were sad.
Yeah, that's like kind of gross.
Don't prey on people. People prey on people. Just protect yourselves. You're strong. You're beautiful. And just, you know what? Tell anyone that's nerds to fuck off. That's all I want to say. And I love you very much. Thank you for listening.
AI is still pretty stupid. Like, don't trust anybody who says...
And the people aren't real that you see online. You're more beautiful than any of those fake people.
Yeah, they're all filtered up.
Yeah, you're beautiful. And I love you. And thank you for listening. And just know that your...
Comrade Bala got put away.
Yeah.
So, look, his daughter helped. His daughter was in the cult. And, you know, good finally did prevail.
Yep. Just know that you're wonderful. And everyone else can go to hell.
There you go.
That's a joke, but just know that I appreciate you. Thank you for listening. And you have a good night.
Be careful who you trust.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.